Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at life through some very ancient glasses, the glasses of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner for today. It's called Armadoxy. We invite you to take a look with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Initiates Mission, brought to you by the cool folks at ApostlesNet. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe, apostle.net. So if you're ready, put the net aside, kick back, relax, take off your shoes and put them on, and get ready to take the next step. Well, welcome back. Yes, you know we're having fun over here, but why not? I'm sitting in Southern California. It is just beautiful outside. We've got beautiful sunny skies. I know, I don't want to flaunt it, but it is really beautiful. We survived the solar flares, and those of you up in Finland, Norway, wow, what a scene that was. What a spectacle. Thank you so much for sending some of those links, and we got the chance to see the Northern Lights, albeit through the internet, but how beautiful was that? Well, we survived those solar lights, and we are sitting here now in Southern California in our studio at mightyapostle.net in Glendale with the usual cast of friends, acquaintances, and I don't want to say what else, but you know I'm looking at you, Ken. Anyway, of course, we have Susie, Ken, and Ani are here, and we're getting ready to do our next step, taking the next step together, and this is just a beautiful day. It's a very special day for me because it is, well, yes, it is my sister's birthday.
Put another candle on my birthday cake.
Happy
We're
birthday
gonna
to
bake a birthday cake.
Put another candle on my birthday cake. It is my sister's birthday, and now that I've completely embarrassed her, I just wanted to do a shout out and wish her all the best, health and happiness always. She is one of the top supporters, big supporters of this ministry, and you know how? She's an incredible prayer. Yep, she prays. And incredible as she is, she backs up those prayers with a lot of action, with a lot of sweat, with a lot of work, and gets a lot accomplished. So I just want to do a shout out and let her know how much we love her and what an inspiration she is to so many people. So if you're embarrassed, too bad. Happy birthday, Anush. Wishing you all the best today and always. And that music, well, that's going to betray our age, too. That's from Sheriff John. Long time ago, we grew up with this stuff. That's why we turned out the way we did. Sheriff John singing the birthday song. We've got a song coming up in a few minutes. We do a song of the day every week, and we hope you'll enjoy that as much as you enjoyed this one. And we've got some great information to pass along to you today on today's Next Step. We've been involved in quite a bit of projects lately. You know that as we started the Advent season, and back in November, we got involved in a lot of outreach programs, and there were so many of you that participated at different levels. In fact, doing the same programs in your communities, and those have been really exciting to hear about your successes, to hear about how God is really reaching out in different directions, in different areas. I wanted to share with you a new program that we're going to be starting in the next few weeks as we get close to Valentine's Day and my particular feast, which I love. It is called Diarantarach. It is the Feast of the Presentation, because along with it comes this opportunity for us to really commit ourselves, presentation, dedication. To dedicate ourselves to the Lord means to dedicate ourselves to one another, and most importantly, dedicate ourselves when we say one another, to our families, to the most important of relationships that we have. So in this dedication process, dedicationing to the Lord, it follows the Johannian principle that you can't love God who you don't see if you don't love your brother who you do see. So we begin with loving one another. And you follow this Johannian principle. I love saying that word. You could tell, right? It's St. John has given us this command or this insight that God is love, and therefore you have to love one another to be able to love God. And Jesus, over and over, how will people know that you are my disciples? By the way that you love one another. Well, look at the most simple of relationships that we do have, and we have them in our families. And yet our families become the target many times for our anger, for our jealousies. It is so much easier to take it out on people who can take it than to do it to other people. So we find easy targets many times in the relationships that we have that are so close to us, our spouses, our children, our parents, and we combine this all under the category of domestic violence. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. I wanted to kick off today's podcast with some discussion about relevance, relevancy. Like, how is the Armenian church relevant? How is faith relevant? How is Christianity relevant to the reality that you, well, to your life, your daily life? And this is a big issue. This is really one of the reasons why, you know, we started Next Step. It has been the cornerstone of my ministry, that you don't wind up God only on Sundays, but God has to be something that is immediate and is always in your life. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything if God is just going to be something that's going to exist in a building, and once you get out of that building, you have some other life. So relevancy is a big, big issue, and we've been kicking around on Compass. I've got to tell you, if you haven't been following it, it is worth picking up the Compass podcast, subscribing to the feed, or just getting on our website. And hey, you know, you got to make use of that cool little app. That is really fun. I've been using it lately on my iPad. I had an iPad like about a year ago. I've kicked it around. My wife had it for a while. My son had it for a while. Now I got it back. Right at the new year, I got it back. And one of the first things I did is I downloaded the Epostle app. And it is so fun. It is so fun because it's got everything on there. So you don't even need to deal with Epostle. I hate to say this. I know. I hate to say this. You don't have to deal with Epostle. You just go on the app and you've got really at your fingertips. Tips, all of the programming, including the videos, including the audio. Anyway, and that's available on Android as well as the iPhones and iPads. Okay, I did my commercial there. Now, and it is, it's also available on the desktop. Yes, you don't even need a pod. You could just go to, what is it, epostle.mobapp.at as in Tom, okay? No com, no net, nothing like that, okay? epostle.mobapp.at. And there is a mobile app there. Just pick it up and put it right on your computer. And you've got Epostle all the time. Okay, so I've been listening to a lot of the stuff that we've been putting on, and we've been paying a lot of attention to relevance. Relevance. How is the church relevant? How is this faith relevant? I mean, we are going through some difficult times right now. You've got countries that are on the verge of collapse. You've got economic situations that are really causing people to panic. There is chaos ensuing. Yes, many families, we see this all the time. Okay, many families disturbed because they can't make things work. They can't find work. It's impossible for them to make things function because the work, because economically. Okay, and think about health issues. People have major, major health issues that they've got to struggle with, deal with, and people on life support. And where is faith? I mean, you're talking about a God who's a good God, and why is he allowing people to go through so much suffering? We've got people who are suffering in wars because of man-made disasters, wars, genocide. You know, like, what is the sense of believing in a God who is a loving and compassionate God if this God can't get to us, you know, isn't helping us? So this point of relevance is bigger than you might think, okay? It's at the core of all of belief and faith. How do you justify the goodness of a God in light of all these tragedies? And this is a part of the relevancy issue. I picked up a book at the library the other day. It's called Peace Be With You. It's Monastic Wisdom for a Terror-Filled World. It is by David Carlson, and we'll definitely put notes on our show notes. We'll put a link on our show notes so you could check out this book yourself. But I wanted to share with you a couple passages because this kind of just hit me. It's, you know, as the title suggests, he's doing work within some monasteries. And he says, let me read this. He says, from my latter reading of President Bush's 2007 State of the Union address, I discovered that he too had invoked the memory of 9/11. "Every success," he quotes, "against the terrorists is a reminder of the shoreless ambition of this enemy. The evil that inspired and rejoiced in 9/11 is still at work in the world. And so long as that's the case, America's still a nation at war." Abbot Damien's initial reflection on 9/11 was marked differently. He asked the big question, why? Why were we attacked? Now, this is an abbot from one of the monasteries he's visiting. "I had already heard that question in New Mexico and was to hear it repeatedly throughout the project. Oddly, that question is one that I have rarely heard outside of monasteries. Perhaps it is a question that most Americans believe has been satisfactorily answered," as we saw President Bush had answered, right? "I draw from this contrast one of the several possible conclusions. Either the monks and nuns whom I interviewed had not heard the administration's repeated explanation that our enemies hate us, hate our freedom, hate democracy, hate civilization, and are part of an axis of evil in the world, or they undoubtedly had heard that rationale and simply did not accept it." Why did they do this? Why do they hate us? Abbot Damien posed. If a person hates you, you know, what do you do? Do you just hate them back? How do you counter hatred? I sat quietly as Abbot Damien posed his own questions to answer. As was true of other Americans, the abbot was puzzled as to why a whole mass of people who we'd tried to help over the years had turned on us. But unlike many Americans who believed the record of American generosity should end further national introspection, the abbot pushed further. "We who have everything, of course, we're generous, but the world is still the same. The people are so poor and they're starving." Now, I read this portion, and I'm sharing it with you because it is really at the core of all of our questioning, that when you look at the world and you look at the reality of the world, whether it's terrorism or whether you look at the economic crisis that's all around us, whether you look at health issues, relationship issues, you have to wonder, at what point does your faith fit into all of this? Here the abbot is saying, okay, people have bombed us and they're killing us and this is an act of hatred. You yourself are admitting that it is an act of hatred, and what is the answer to that? And whether that hatred comes to you in the form of a missile, in the form of a bomb pointed at you, in the form of a gun nailed by a terrorist, in the form of cancer hitting your body, in the form of just somebody making your relationship and your life miserable. Whatever way that hatred comes or manifests itself, it's coming to you anyway. And the only thing you can do is react to it. The way you react to it, whether you hit it with more hatred or whether you hit it with a power that is greater than that hatred, is up to you. And we have that. We have that ability. Here is where relevance comes in, okay? If the church is just going to sit there and say that, okay, we have a church and it's beautiful, and you get up there and you've got a priest who's got a beautiful voice, and you got some deacons who like to show off their nice robes and wear the stoles over their arms and look at the jingles on the censers, you know, at some point that all wears out, doesn't it? At some point, it just doesn't make sense anymore. At some point, you look at that and you say, hey, that's nice. Beautiful voice. Listen to it. Been there, done that. And this is really one of the sad things about some of the ancient Orthodox churches, that they've so centralized on their services. They've centralized on their services that they've forgotten the dynamics of a church that is talking to the people. We've been reading the book of Acts in our Questions of Faith series on Wednesday evenings, and I've got to be honest with you, I haven't read the book of Acts in the past 25-30 years since my seminary days, and it's been refreshing to me just to look through Acts in depth, looking at it one by one, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because, you know, the book of Acts is the only history book in the New Testament. It is the history of the original Christian church, starting from the day after the resurrection, and I believe it goes about 30 years to a year, maybe about 60, chronicling the works of the apostles. And something just hits you all of, you know, throughout the book of Acts, is how important community is. That it's not just these individual Christians standing up and say, hey, I believe in Christ, and so, you know, I'm saved, and you're not, too bad. No, it's about reaching out, about finding strength in numbers, about realizing that the church has an obligation to community, tending to the poor, tending to the widows, tending to people who are suffering immediately, and always reaching out, not tiring of reaching out. There is a beauty in the book of Acts that comes out over and over, that love has to be acted upon. As Jesus says, and it is repeated in the book of Acts, he says, it is better to give than to receive. Interesting. I believe it's the only statement Jesus makes in that second gospel of Luke, right? It's the only statement that he makes in the book of Acts. It says, it is better to give than to receive. Wow. If you think about it, isn't that at the core of all that we do? It's about giving. It's about loving. It's about compassion. And that's the key, that's the relevance. That's, you know, like, you've got these incredible situations out there. And your faith has to be something that is more than just a Sunday experience. It's got to be talking to the times. Yes, there's people blowing up your buildings, blowing up your lives, messing up your lives. Well, how do you answer that? Are you as weak as them and use the same weapons that they use? Or are you more powerful? And use the weapon of choice. Use the weapon called love. Use the weapon that Jesus Christ used. And know that you can conquer. Know that you can overcome even terrorism, even genocide. You can overcome even cancer. This week, I was completely, completely appalled. I mean, you talk about irrelevance. I got an email message from the students, Armenian students at the University of Southern California. And yeah, my alma mater, I know, I'll accept that too. I love that university. My kid's studying there right now. Join a silent protest against the Armenian genocide. Hey folks, let's get with the program. They're not listening to the loud genocide. What are you doing talking about a silent protest? And of all topics, why not a loud protest or even a silent protest for the genocide in Darfur? But instead, we're going over and over. What's the Einsteinian equation? No, not E equals MC squared. But insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And so we'll go and protest, silent protest for the Armenian genocide, and let other people decide our destiny instead of taking the means that we have, implementing them. Because these are the same children of a generation that call themselves the first, you know, the generation who has inherited this title, the first Christian nation. Well, it has to mean something. It's irrelevant to use these kind of titles and not put it into action. So here we go again. And as April comes closer, we're going to hear more and more of it. Silent protest against the Turkish government, against the genocide. Come on. You want to have a protest? Use the guns that have been given to us. The gun of love. The gun that tells you that you have to believe in yourself. That you can move mountains if you have that love in your heart. You want proof? Look around you. Look at every success that you've had. Don't look at me. Don't look at anybody else. Look at the proof around you. The successes that you've had can be measured by the type of love that you've had in your heart. Those are the times that you succeed. Those are the times that you've gone forward. And the times that you've gone backwards is when you keep on relying on the old stuff. You rely on other people to choose your destiny, to decide what's going on with you. That's about it. Relevancy. Jesus Christ has given us a faith Jesus Christ has given us the foundation. He has connected us with God, the ultimate power of this universe, a God who is the God of love, who is love. Jesus Christ connects us with that love. Now put that love in your heart and make the changes that are necessary in your life. I know I get carried away sometimes, don't I? It's important to me. Hey, listen, today's song of the day is coming up. Ken's got it queued up. It is Datevi doing Ari Inz. Enjoy.
Ari Inz al gachkalai divanasi. Ari Inz al gachkalai divanasi. Աշխարհ կսկուն լինի ինչ պիտիս տանի Աստվածիրե հոգի սիրե յարսիրե Աստվածիրե հոգի սիրե յարսիրե Լերուրի ուրուրի
Oh,
unmistakable sound of the Tevig. Unmistakable syncopation, rhythm, quality. Ah, so many different aspects to this music. You really got to get into it. And the easy way is to check out our show notes today, where we'll have a link on there with a pointer to not only today's song, but all of the wonderful music put out by this incredible artist, Da Tevig. Tell you somebody else who is incredible, and that is our Ani. I'm going to ask Ani to do her bubbles a little bit early today in the show. I know she's got to get going with her work. She's going to be talking a little bit about her work. She tells me, and I'm looking forward to hearing today's installment of Spiritual Bubbles. Here is Ani.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is about hope. For those of you who don't know already, I am a pediatric nurse. I graduated nursing school last June and landed the job of my dreams in the RN residency program in pediatrics at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. It's a 22-week comprehensive training program for new graduates, and it's over next week. That means that after graduating this program next Friday, I will be on my own, working as a nurse, without anyone by my side. Every day I've worked these last 5 months, I've had another nurse with me, watching me, training me, and answering my questions. Now it's my turn. Being on yet another brink, overlooking everything to come in my future, I started to think about what got me to where I am today. When I did my women's health and maternity rotation in nursing school, I was convinced that I was going to become a labor and delivery nurse, maybe even a midwife one day. But then, well, I walked into Children's Hospital. Okay, now seriously, I'm not getting paid to say this. This is really my story. From the moment that I walked in those doors, I knew I was in the right place for me. Working with the kids was different from any other experiences I'd had in school, and I knew it was where I belonged. After telling my family and friends, and slowly making my way into this job, followed the same question from just about everyone, and I still get it now. Isn't it hard to work with kids, they'll ask? Isn't it sad? Isn't it depressing? My answer has always been the same. Yes. Yes, it is sad. Many of the kids I work with are chronically ill. They will never recover 100%, and they will never be like an average kid. Is it depressing? Yeah, it has its days. It has days when I don't even want to talk about it, not with coworkers, not with family. It's days when things just feel hopeless. But honestly, and thankfully, those days are rare. You see, the thing about kids, whether you're talking about sick kids or well kids, is that they're always full of hope. They hope to be better, healthier. Kids will be kids even when they're sick. They still love playing games. They still love to watch SpongeBob. And they still love to smile. They may feel icky or scared, but they are still kids. Regardless of all the fun that we have, when I think about why I truly love working with kids, it really comes down to hope. Working for hope. Working with hope. Working to create hope. Hoping that we're doing our best, and that our best is enough to keep them hopeful. It's about a hope for healing, hope for a cure, but more hope for love, and hope for our future. And that's really the beauty of children, to me. They're hopeful, and they always remain hopeful, even when times are tough or their outlook isn't good. Children are inspiring. They're like God's lesson to us, to believe in that hope for ourselves and for our future, and not just for our individual futures, but to remain hopeful for the future of humanity. These children inspire me, and that's why I choose to do this. That's why I'm a pediatric nurse. So come next week, I'll be on my own, ready to start my career, and ready to keep that hope alive. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Longer, give us a chance to clear our throats, wipe our eyes. Jeez, Ani, that is so beautiful, and what a beautiful personal reflection that is. Today's spiritual bubble, it just tells you the kind of person that Ani is. Wish you all the best, Ani. It's just so beautiful, and to know all the beautiful things that you're doing, so many people that you're touching, and really offering that hope. Thank you for sharing that one with us. Ani does a blog, and she talks about nursing. We'll make sure that we put a link on our show notes today so you can check out all the wonderful stuff that she writes and she creates. And keep her in your prayers, too. Sci-fi buffs had a loss this week. Yes, the voice behind the Lost in Space robot, the B9 robot in Lost in Space. I mean, this is one of the special ones in my life, too. He passed away. His name was Dick Tufeld, and he passed. I didn't know that the voice was different than the guy who was inside. I always knew the guy inside, but anyway, this is the voice, and apparently the voice, Dick Tufeld, had done quite a bit of different things, quite a announcement work on different programs, and quite well known in the entertainment industry. Anyway, he passed away, and the robot, I got a chance to, well, because of that piece, you know how it is when you do the search on the internet, you know, the Google gives you all these ads. So all of a sudden, I see some ads for the little robot, and I thought, hey, this is pretty exciting. So I get over there, and I start looking up the robot on Lost in Space, and wait, let me back up a little bit. It's not only something from my childhood that I remember, but Lost in Space has a very special place in my life right now, because several months ago, I discovered MeTV. If you haven't checked this out, this is really one of the great deals of antenna TV. I mean, you put up an antenna, and it is a digital signal. You could pick it up. And MeTV has really quality TV programs that you could sit around and watch with your family without being embarrassed that they're going to be talking about stupid things that are just so prevalent on mainstream TV. And I, by stupid things, I know you know what I'm talking about, okay? They come into the room and they talk about something and you hear this ridiculous laughter. About idiot things. I flushed the toilet. I mean, you know, it's like, there's not, it's forget about just obscenity. There's just no class. It's just no class. Remember a few months ago, I had this discussion with you when there was this discussion here in the United States about whether they should be building a mosque at Ground Zero. And you know, yes, you have the right to build it, but at some point, just your reasoning and common sense, a question of taste, a question of class should come in. Is that the greatest place when it comes to taste to put a mosque there, you know? I mean, think about it, okay? Well, I do think about it. I mean, it's happened to me in my past, yeah. I mean, the Armenians have gone through genocide, and over our churches there are mosques. So I know it's just not only against a sense of fairness and justice, but on a very real level, it's just tasteless. It's classless, right? It's just like throwing it in your face. Well, same thing. You know that there's issues of class. I mean, most of TV that you watch today, most of the shows that are on there, and even the what was it? Betty White last week. She celebrated her 90th birthday. Yeah, you know, she's funny. I've watched her in the past, enjoyed her comedy, you know, but you get to a point where, okay, you made it to 90. God bless you. I hope you make it to 100, but do you need to be so classless? Right after her show, they showed these old people It was, I forgot even the name of the show, and it's not even worth digging up, but it was a show about like how old people can be raunchy and about how old people can put one over, how they could put one over on the young people. And young people, hey, watch out, because grandma and grandpa can be dirty like you are. I mean, what was the sense of this? What is the example that is being given? Who cares? I mean, where does the common decency come in? And so when you find a gem like MeTV, and you say, wow, you get to watch people that are basically giving you some beautiful examples of being charitable, of being kind, of being considerate, about caring for the other person. These are not bad things. These are not corny things. These are things that everybody should know about. That in life, you need to be good. You need to be considerate. You need to be caring, compassionate. And so you watch a show. Okay, here's a show I'd never watched before. The Rifleman.
The Rifleman.
I can't believe you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for playing that beginning. Yeah. You kind of killed everything that I wanted to talk about. I'm going to talk about the virtues of the Rifleman. And here he is just shooting off this rifle and killing and maiming and massacring people. Well, contrary to what that sounded like, I've been watching this show. I never watched it as a kid. You know, I knew what it was. I had seen it, you know, bits and pieces here and there, but I never watched it. So now it's on this MeTV, on this retro TV, and you get to watch it, and they're talking about some values that are very serious. About honesty, about decency, about caring about other people, about, you know, curbing that violence, the violence that's within. You know, and it is very, very powerful, powerful show. And so it is on this TV station that I got to get a chance to watch some of the old classics. And every Saturday night, they show Lost in Space. I'm going to tell you, yeah, okay, you look at it and, you know, it doesn't compare with some of the technical wonders that we have right now, the technical science fiction wonders that we see on the big screen and even on television. You know, you're talking about 40-year-old technology, 50-year-old technology. It was in the mid-60s when we first watched it. But Lost in Space, it inspired generations to wonder, to imagine, to dream. And you see this little robot over there, and it is a fascinating robot. So anyway, the voice of the robot passed away, and like I said, on Google, when you look up something, you know, those ads come up and everything. So all of a sudden, I see these little ads for the robot. And I got excited. So I pressed on a few of them, and Amazon's got for between $9 and $20 these little models that you can create, you can make. And anyway, I saw a whole string of these robots over there from Lost in Space, the B9 robots. And I said, wow, there's a bunch of them that are life-size. So I found this guy's website. And this guy has gotten the licensing from Lost in Space to actually create human-sized robots, the Lost in Space robot. I was so fascinated. They are numbered. They're handmade. He makes 12 of them a year. It's been in business for 5 or 6 years right now. Fascinating. I just fell in love with it. I've got to get me one of them. And I want to just stick it either in my office or at home. Well, my wife said that it kind of, she laughed at it, didn't think that it would fit in the house. But I know definitely where I would have it. And it's got some incredible features on it, too. But the price tag, it's $24,000. Now, you know, you're up against those kind of like real decisions in life, okay? 24,000, the things you can do with 24,000. And then you have that little robot. So anyway, it is part of my little dream catalog over there. One day, right? Well, we hit the lottery and we just have finished with everything else that we're going to do with the money. Anyway, it is like nice wishful thinking, but most importantly, I wanted to share with you some thoughts about the wonder, about the imagination and sparking the imagination. Sometimes we look at the old world and we say how wonderful life was, but in many senses, it's in retrospect, sure, but when you look at what's going on right now, it's just a question of civility. It's just a question of, well, of just common sense, of common decency, that at some point you've got to look at life and you've got to say, you know, it is beautiful. We don't have to clutter it with all of this garbage that puts down the human spirit, that puts down people, and has a lack of respect or no respect for life. I'll be back in a moment with an issue of respect in life. But first, here's Susie.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced the next step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And I just want to add to that, you know, one of the simplest things that you can do for Epostle is just talk about it. Write about it on Epostle. Let your friends know. Let your family know. There are so many people. It is really gratifying to us. Every week we get email, people talking about, hey, we just found out about you. We just learned about you. What's going on? You know, this is great. And you know, it's gratifying because you realize that, first of all, you realize there's somebody on the other side listening to all this, but even more important, you realize that, you know, faith in a real sense, when it's real faith, people are open to it, people want to discuss it, and people want to hear. So we really appreciate all of your prayers, your comments, your support, and especially you talking about it, about you sharing the information about Epostle. I want to end today's show with a topic that we're going to be addressing in the next few weeks on several occasions as we build up for an event, and that is the issue of domestic violence. It is an issue that has crippled many families. It is an issue that has destroyed many lives. It is an issue that continues to plague communities and affecting our entire world. It is tied in directly with what we've been talking about earlier, about respect, about the commonality, about having a respect for people. The other day at a coffee shop, I was sitting across from a couple, and I was reading my book, and it wasn't that I was I wasn't eavesdropping, but of course you can hear people in their conversation, and you don't listen to what they're saying. All of a sudden, you hear this, you know, you hear a cuss word, a swear word. And of course, your ears just kind of like perk up. At least mine do. I think in many instances, they don't for people. I think we're so accustomed to them. But it was interesting because apparently this man and woman were sitting there, and as I observed what was going on, because it just kind of hit me. As I was observing, apparently they had just met, and it was interesting because he threw out this swear word, and when he saw that the woman was not reacting, he started swearing even more and cussing even more in his language and his means of communications until the conversation became, you know, just a regular, the swearing became a part of the regular conversation. And I thought to myself, you know, that's how it is. It's just making that first slip and testing the waters. And if it's okay, then going for the next one. And you know, I've talked about this in the past. It is one of my pet peeves. I feel that we have so limited amount of time here on this earth. Why clutter it up with, why clutter it up with ugliness? You know, if there's so much beauty, if there's ways of communicating, why use methods that are so primitive? You know, and so in many ways, we see this degeneration going about because as more and more it's acceptable, and I'm not just talking about cussing or swearing, I'm talking about accepting mediocrity, accepting ugliness in your life. You accept that ugliness and then the next case becomes even easier to accept. And we're seeing this is a total lack of respect, total lack of understanding, a total lack of responsibility. There's the word. And a story comes up, and it's coming up in a couple weeks. It happens to be the groundhog story. On February 2nd is Groundhog's Day. It is also Candlemas, the more traditional word. It is 40 days after Christmas. If you celebrate on December 25th, February 2nd is Candlemas, 40 days after Christmas. But us in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we celebrate on January 6th, Christmas. So if you add the 40 days, you come up to February 14th. Wow, look at that. Valentine's Day. Talk about love. Anyway, before there was a St. Valentine's, there was the tradition of Jesus going to the temple and being presented to the temple. And this comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 22. And you read in there that Joseph and Mary took the Jesus to present him to the temple. Now, I want you to start off with just this, and we're going to be kicking this around in the next few weeks. We're going to be discussing this even more, but this is where I'm going to leave you off today, okay? Here is the assignment. Think about Joseph in that relationship. Joseph is given this incredible message by his wife. His wife says, hey, listen, I'm pregnant, and the baby is not yours. I'm going to have a child, and it is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, he sees the dream, he sees the vision, he sees the angel, but one way or another, he's got to buy this. He's got to buy that he is not the father of this child. And Joseph, having every reason to leave the wife, having every reason to desert them, having every reason to just wash his hands and saying, hey, not for me, what does he do? He takes on the responsibility of fatherhood. Think about that for a moment. He takes on the responsibility of being, well, the responsible father and saying, this is my child. Because I love you, because I care about you, I care about what comes from you. I care about your child. That child is my child. And Joseph becomes the adoptive father. Joseph becomes the father who takes charge of the child and gives that child a life, gives that child a family. And this comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, and it's going to come to us in a few weeks as we celebrate this feast of Candlemas. In Armenian, we call it Diyarın Tarach. Sometimes it's called derendes, to see the Lord, to present the Lord, the presentation, okay? Now, this takes place on February 14th. Now, one day before is called Nahadonag. In the Armenian church, every major feast, every celebration has a one night before, has a Nahadonag. In other words, a pre-feast. We get ready. Yeah, that's us. We like to have a big party all the time. It's like a 40 days, 40 night thing. You've read that before, right? Well, here's a one night before. An event. It's called Nahadonag. It's in preparation for the big feast. And on that evening, they light bonfires. And of course, being in the midwinter, there's fertility rites and people jumping over these. But it also is an opportunity for us to focus in on those fires and see that there is a cleansing that can take place. A cleansing that could set us in the right pace as far as our responsibility to families, to our spouses, to our children. in the context of domestic violence, we need to start someplace. We need to start off with a very simple respect. Before you can talk about love, before you can talk about responsibility, you got to talk about respect. And that respect is built. It's built on relationships. It's built with the love that we have for one another. I'm going to leave you with this idea today, to look at the example of Saint Joseph, to look at this adoptive father, about how much strength it must have taken for him to say yes to Mary, how much strength it must, inner strength it must have taken to him to say, yes, I will adopt this child, despite every reason not to be able to say yes to God. Look in our lives, how many opportunities are given to us daily for us to adopt God's children, for us to take on someone else's pain, for us to look at somebody else and say, I walk in your shoes, to say that I am feeling your pain. I feel what you're going through. So many opportunities. And so the example of Saint Joseph is a mighty one. And it's one that I invite you to look at. We're going to be talking in the next few weeks as we get ready, as we get closer to the February 13th date, because we're going to be commemorating it in a very unique way here in Glendale, which is really one of the largest concentrations of Armenians outside of Yerevan. I think maybe second to Moscow. The Southern California area has so many Armenians over here. And within the Armenian communities, within the parochial boundaries, within the patriarchal systems that we have set up within the communities and the society, domestic violence is one of those unspoken crimes. It is still taboo. There is still shame that is ascribed to it. We're trying to tear that down. As the Church of Jesus Christ, as the church that was founded by the apostles, I'm so pleased to announce that our primate here in the Western Diocese, His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, has given the go-ahead for us to put together a task force, and he's been supportive of it, and he's going to be accepting a group of walkers. We're going to be actually marching on February 13th in this reflection of a family, in this reflection of respect for the family, spouses for spouse, for children. We're going to be marching from our church in Glendale to the diocesan headquarters, to the cathedral, and there the primate is going to actually receive us, and we're going to have an opportunity to talk about the issues of domestic violence. We will have the traditional bonfire afterwards, an opportunity for us to renew ourselves and renew our commitment to God and to our families. So much happening. I want you to get involved. And thank God for this beautiful opportunity that we have through Epostle, that we are connected, so that you can be part of this ministry. You can be part of what's going on. Because domestic violence is not just something that's in the Armenian community. It's not something that's just happening in Glendale. It's happening all over. I've shared with you in the past my personal frustrations with it, because we have closed our eyes to it. I've shared with you, especially the tragedy, in light of the tragedy of Zarui Petrosyan, that beautiful lady who was killed by her husband and her mother-in-law in Armenia, and the frustration about how people tried to cover that up. It's time for those covers to come off. It's time for us to shed some light on a very, very, very dark reality. This is the judgment, says our Lord Jesus Christ. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because the deeds are evil. Those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light, because they do not want their evil deeds shown. But those who do what is true come to the light, in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God. Obedience to God means loving. Means caring. We need to shed some light so that people can be proud of the love that they have. We need to shed some light so people can see the evil and change those ways. It's doable. It's part of the dream we call Armadoxy. It's bringing the faith of Jesus Christ into the lives of people today. So join me with your prayers. Join me every week as we get closer to this feast that's coming up. Hey, listen, this brings us to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed putting it together. I'm getting the signal that we are at the end. So let me say goodbye to you and invite you first and foremost, get on our website, inissues.org, and you'll find all kinds of stuff going on over there. That's the mothership. Get on epostle.net. Download our app on your iPhone or your Android phone. Download it on your computer and you'll always have us with you. For the wonderful crew who puts this together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her fantastic mother today. This is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.